Good morning and welcome once again to New Life Worship Center. This is Communion Sunday for us today here at New Life, and we welcome you to our service. We're actually in the middle of a series, for the fourth part of this series, actually. And the first one was We Have a Refuge. We have a refuge in Jesus. And then we talked about we have a rescuer. Jesus is there to rescue us from whatever situations we may find ourselves in. We also, third part was we have a restorer, that he wants to restore all that the enemy has taken away from us. We talked about that last week. Today, for this Communion Sunday, we'd like to speak to you for a few minutes from this thought. We have a redeemer. We have a redeemer. The idea of redemption has been a part of God's plan all along for us. Because of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden, we were separated from God. Sin will always do that. Sin will always separate us from Him. In the Old Testament, under the law, redemption was really never complete because sin was never totally wiped out or forgiven. It was only rolled back annually by the death of a lamb or a bull or a goat or some other animal like that. And so even before the law was given, though, we find a great story in Genesis chapter number 22. So why don't you turn there with me. Genesis chapter 22, it's the chapter where Abraham has a son now. His son is Isaac, and God tests Abraham's faith in regard to his one and only son. Let's pick it up in Genesis 22, verse 1. And it says this: sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here am I," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about." And then let's skip down to verse number 6. And it says, "Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, 'Father.' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied. 'The fire and wood are here,' Isaac said, 'but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' Abraham answered, 'God himself will provide the lamb.'" That's a great, great line. God himself will provide the lamb. Well, we now know that Jesus is the lamb that God provided, the sinless lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Peter writes about this very eloquently in 1 Peter chapter number 1. Let's turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we begin at verse number 18. And he writes this: "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." I love that. Jesus Christ, again, the sinless Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. Look at this in verse 20. "He was chosen," Jesus was chosen, "before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him," through Christ, "you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him," glorified Jesus, "and so your faith and your hope are in God." I love that. So through Christ comes our belief in God, and He's the one, God is the one that raised Jesus from the dead, glorified Jesus. He now sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for you and me as believers in Christ. And so our faith and our hope are in God because of what He's done through Christ for us. And then going further, Galatians chapter 3 tells us this: "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.'" Jesus Christ, that sinless Lamb of God, literally became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in and through Christ Jesus himself. Man, I love that. Verse 14 says this, He, Jesus, redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. That's another great statement as well. Jesus redeemed us in order that this blessing, the covenants, the promises that God made to Abraham would come to the Gentiles. So it was not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. And we see that in Scripture as early as the book of Genesis, where God says, all nations on earth, he says this to Abraham, all nations on earth are going to be blessed through you. And so we see that God does this through Christ, bringing Jew and Gentile together by our faith and our belief in Christ Jesus. And so he says he redeemed us in order that that blessing that was given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. Why? So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's great too. We have this promise of a coming Holy Spirit that will anoint us and baptize us as Christians, as believers. And we'll look at that a little bit more later in the message. We go now to Romans chapter 3, and this is so good. It adds this, Romans 3, beginning at verse 21. And it says this, But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known to which the law and the prophets testify. All the way back throughout the Old Testament, the law that Moses wrote, the testimony of the prophets that that wrote the prophetic words about Christ coming, he says, a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known to us now in this new dispensation, which the law and the prophets talked about, testified about. Verse 22, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. The Bible says, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John tells us, Whosoever shall believe in Christ, that we also shall be saved. And so this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to each one of us that chooses to believe that this is true. And then there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The word says there is none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we are justified freely by His grace, His unmerited favor. We could never earn it. We don't deserve it. But it comes to us simply by grace. God chooses to do that. We are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Again, we talked about that word redemption at the very beginning. It was something that God had planned all along, that because of that sin that we talked about earlier by Adam and Eve, that original sin that separated mankind from God, God always had a plan to redeem us back to Himself, to bring us back, to buy us back, and it came through Christ Jesus. Verse 25, God presented Him, Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement, or as the one who would turn aside His wrath, taking away our sin. We mentioned earlier how that the blood of animals would only roll sin over for another year. But through Christ, He's the one who turned aside the wrath of our Father in heaven, and He took away our sin totally and completely. In fact, He said, if we confess our sin, He said, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's something that Jesus did once and for all with the sacrifice of His life on the cross for you and me. It's an awesome thing. And then Galatians goes even further. It says this, But when the time had fully come, God always has a time. God always has a plan. and His plan and His timing are always perfect. So when the time for all of this to happen had fully come, God sent His Son. Oh, we celebrate that every Christmas season, the birth of Jesus. When the time was just right, when the moment was perfect, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Oh, that's such a great, great thing. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we are brought into fellowship with the Father, and more than that, we're brought into the family of God. We as Christians, regardless of our denominations or whatever, if we believe that Jesus is the only means of salvation, and the Word is very clear that He is, then we are part of God's family. So He was born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. So we are sons and daughters of the living God through Christ. Verse 6, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. We can call God Father because of our belief in Christ, and also because the Spirit within us bears witness with our spirit that we are truly sons and daughters of God. And then verse 7, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. The Bible is very clear that we are heirs of God and we are joint heirs with His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh man, part of the family of God and heirs with Him of the promises that God has given. And then let's go even further. We're covering a lot of scripture today, but it's just rich, rich stuff from the Word of God. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes this. He says, in Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. What a great, great plan that God has. The sacrifice of His only Son that we might become the righteousness of God in and through Christ Jesus. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus, even the forgiveness of all of our sins. In accordance with the riches of God's grace, again, that unmerited favor, that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. The Bible says, what love the Father has lavished on us, that we might be called sons of God, and that is what we are. What a great thought. We are really sons and daughters of God, part of His family. And then Paul continues that same chapter, Ephesians 1. Let's skip down to verse number 13. And it says this, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. And what is that seal? It's the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. I love this thought of the Holy Spirit who comes to live within us when we receive Christ as our Savior. Every believer, when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, into your heart. And the Word says here that the Holy Spirit is a deposit that God places within us. God puts a deposit in us, a spiritual deposit. The third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit Himself, comes as a deposit in our lives as believers, as Christians. But He guarantees the Holy Spirit's presence in us as believers, guarantees our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. And all of this to the praise of His glory and His honor. And then Titus adds this. Titus says in chapter 2, verse number 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, again, this unmerited favor of God. It's available for whosoever will, anybody, no exclusions. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness. This grace that God gives us teaches us, enables us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. We talked earlier this year in our church services about living a holy life. We called it the habit of holiness. And so it's the grace of God and the Holy Spirit living within us that enables us to say no to the ungodliness around us and the worldly passions that vie for our attention, but also He enables us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present world, even though we may be surrounded with a lot of ungodliness, a lot of immorality, a lot of all kinds of things that would be contrary to our walk with God and our heart for Him. But He says we can do it even in this present age. Verse 13 says, while we wait for the blessed hope. What is that? Well, it's the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in this present world, despite its flaws, in spite of all the junk that might be going on in the world around us, we're waiting for this blessed hope, the soon return of our great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next verse says, the one who gave Himself for us, look at this, to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. I love that. The one, Jesus Christ, the one who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, from all sin, from all unrighteousness in our lives, and to purify Himself, for Himself, a people that are His very own. God always has said from the very beginning, I want to be your God, I want you to be my people, and I want to dwell, I want to live among you. God wants to be with us. That's why Emmanuel, that we talk about at Christmas time, Emmanuel means God with us. God came to earth to be with us. The book of Revelation tells us in the future that when Christ comes back, that God Himself will dwell among us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit dwelling with us, among us. And what a great, great day that's going to be. But He also says, I'm purifying for Myself a people that are My very own, those that are eager to do what is good. We have that desire in us. David had it. Oh, he said, create in me a clean heart, a pure heart, O God. You know, and don't take Your Holy Spirit from me, but deliver me, keep me from the evil that's all around me. That should be our prayer every day as well. And then this morning, we're going to kind of close out with a couple of references from the book of Hebrews. That's my favorite book in the whole Bible. It's the book of Hebrews. And so we conclude with that today. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 11, and it says this, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, or another translation says, of the good things that are still yet to come, he says, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter, Jesus did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once for all by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Again, we go back to the beginning of this message where we said that the blood of animals that was slain to roll sins away for just another year, just one year at a time, that's how it took place under the old covenant. but under this new covenant through Christ, the new covenant that the prophet Ezekiel talked about and others. He says that Jesus entered the most holy place in heaven once and for all by his own blood. No longer needed are the blood of animals, but once and for all, again, the sinless Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world, Jesus himself, has obtained eternal redemption for you and me as believers in Christ. We believe that he is the Son of God. We believe that he was born of a virgin. We believe he lived a sinless life while on this earth. We believe he died on the cross for our sins, gave his life that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, died, was buried, rose again on the third day. And he said, because I live, you shall live also. He has obtained eternal redemption for us, redeemed us back to the Father, brought us back, bought us back to the Father. And so we have this eternal redemption through Christ. And then the final portion of Scripture this morning, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse number 19. And it says this, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, the body of Christ has made the way for us. Verse 21, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. Remember now, Jesus is not a priest after the order of Levi or the Aaronic priesthood. No, Jesus is a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, who Melchizedek had no beginning, no end, so similar to the Father in that respect. But it's an eternal priesthood that Hebrews talks about. And we read about him way back in the book of Genesis, this priest of God, Melchizedek. And Jesus is a great high priest over God's house in the order of Melchizedek. And so then he goes further in verse 22. So he says, because of that, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. So because of all of that, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Oh, that's a great, great verse to close on this morning. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Even as we look at the horizon around us, locally, nationally, globally, and we're wrestling with so much because of the pandemic. Florida right now, we've got a hurricane potentially bearing down on us, potentially, and all of these things that are surrounding us. You have personal needs. I have personal needs that we're praying about, that we're believing God for. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says, you know what, guys? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Oh, man. Let's don't just talk about it, but let's walk this walk of faith. Amen? Hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. He is the faithful God. He's the mighty God, everlasting Father, wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. And this Jesus, our Prince of Peace, is also our Redeemer. We have a Redeemer, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Lord, on this Communion Sunday, we thank you so much for the broken body of Jesus and for his shed blood. The word is very clear that without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness of sin. But once and for all, as we just read, once for all time, Jesus obtained eternal redemption for us by the precious blood that he spilled for us on the cross. And by faith in that sacrifice, by faith in that blood that was spilled for us, in his body that was bruised and broken for us, we now have a hope of a home in heaven. And so, Father, this morning, for anyone that's watching this today, if they don't know you as Savior, I ask you to touch their hearts and, Holy Spirit, draw them to you. For unless the Spirit of God draws them, they can't come. And so, Holy Spirit, draw them to you right now. And you said that if we would confess our sin, you would be faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, Lord, do that this morning. Touch every heart. Meet every need. Lord, draw men and women and young people to you this morning to a salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we just believe you to do it. And for those of us that already know you as Savior, may we be drawn closer to you than we've ever been. May we recommit and rededicate our lives to you afresh and anew, to serve you with all of our heart. Lord, to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to you. It's our reasonable service. It's our reasonable act of worship. And Father, don't let us conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but may we be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we might know your will and that we might go out and do it. And Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. Have a great day, and we'll see you soon. Take care.